This week is what they call Operación Salida in Spain. In fact, yesterday was August 1st, and that sort of traditionally signals the beginning of Operación Salida. It sort of translates as something as Departure Day, departure for summer holidays, that is. And this day sort of marked the beginning of the massive exodus from major cities, especially Madrid and Barcelona, as they headed for mainly the coast, but also the mountains or the famous Pueblo, or their hometown where the family came from, wherever that was. It could have been anywhere, really. The major urban centers would empty out. Anyone who could go left, and the few who couldn't were left behind. Now, August has always been the big summer break time in many parts of Europe. For Spain, the present format got its start at some point during the late 50s and early 60s, when life here started to improve and people had a little more money to work with. And for many years, August 1st was the day of reckoning for travelers. People packed their cars with bags, food, and kids, basically in that order, and took to the roads. And they often went from a highway to a two-lane national road within 100 kilometers of Madrid, and sometimes even less. And that's when the fun began, and I'm saying that pretty much facetiously. A trip to even the closest shore, like Valencia, which today would take about 3 hours, could easily take twice that long. Stop and go traffic, stops for coffee, breaks for the bathroom. It was an odyssey, and often a curiously nice one in a certain way. I don't know, people I know who grew up during that period sort of have fond memories of the suffering. It's one of the unusual aspects of the human condition. Now, I won't dare say I've lived these experiences firsthand, because for the most part I wasn't in Spain at that time, but I did catch the tail end of it when the highways weren't completed. And I can attest to the fact that once the route went from a Class A freeway to a two-lane road, the trip became abruptly more complicated. There were basically two parts to the trajectory. The one where things ran quite smoothly on the highway, and the one where things got pretty rough. Because that second part is when the driving turned into something that can only be described as terrifying, because it entailed passing vehicles, especially trucks. And there is nothing worse than trying to pass a truck with oncoming traffic and a whole line of cars behind you waiting for you to execute the procedure. The pressure gets, especially a couple, the one right behind you can feel them sort of moving closer and closer to the rear of your car, and you're like, "I'll go, I'll go." Trust me, I've done it a lot of times, and it heightens the adrenaline factor exponentially. Your heart is thumping a million miles per hour once it's all over. And there was good reason to be nervous. Driving back then wasn't just scary to experience, it was dangerous as hell. And here's why. Cars were a lot less sturdy back then, especially those Spanish standard vehicles, the 600 and the 1500. They were lovable cars, but tin cans, basically. To make matters worse, drivers and passengers rarely bothered to buckle up, and that's if there were any seat belts there at all. Roads, as we mentioned, were hopelessly ill-equipped to handle the volume of traffic, and with speed limits rarely respected, impatient drivers overtaking cars at every chance, and potential peril existing at every corner, the journeys were an invitation to tragedy. And the grim numbers pretty much back that up. Consider this: in 1989, 5,940 people were killed on the national roads. In 2021, it was a modest 1,004, which is still a pretty high number, but a remarkable improvement. That figure is even more shocking when you consider that back then there were about 15 million vehicles in all in Spain, and now there are about 35 million. So with less than half the number of vehicles, there was 500% more deaths. And we haven't even begun to talk about the injuries. So things have improved in that sense. It's also true that the highway systems are much better. I guess you sort of lose out by not going on those national roads. People don't go through the towns as much. It's a little bit less scenic, but it's certainly a lot more efficient. And where were the Spaniards heading back then? Well, your average Spaniard's destination was sort of a big difference compared to today. In those golden years, the Spanish can get very nostalgic about it. Two general places constituted the large majority of where most people would go. One was the pueblo, or the family hometown. It could have been on the mother's side or the father's side. The pueblo could have been anywhere in the country, but many were in the provinces surrounding Madrid, at least for Madrid, that is. Castilla-La Mancha, Castilla-León, and others. The advantage to this was obviously the low-cost vacation because housing and many of the meals were free. The kids played there with their summertime gangs, and life was easy and safe. The other choice was the beach, where families often had a second home, a house on the waterfront, or a modest apartment. This was a definite investment, so that required an economic effort, but it was also often compensated with a low-cost existence at the beach. No pools, no golf, no fancy spas. Everyday life centered around the beach. It was free, and it was simple. And to this day, the Spaniards are still big fans of the beach. They prefer it more than the swimming pool. The meals were either eaten at home or at the beach. They would love to take those huge Spanish sandwiches called bocadillos. Nighttime activities included maybe a stroll along the boardwalk to get some ice cream, or playing cards at home, or watching a soccer match on TV. The young kids had a ball. They had a great time with sandcastles, and the teenagers fell in love. Parents did their best to get a little bit of R&R, though it wasn't always easy. Nowadays, people choose a million different destinations, anywhere at any price. All of my friends have been moaning this year, though, and rightfully so, about just how expensive it's become to rent a place, even for a week or two. This is ironic because salaries in Spain are dreadfully low, and inflation, just about everywhere else, is hammering the family economy. So why do they do it? Well, probably because the renters know they can. They know that the Spanish love their holidays above all else. And if they have to splurge, even plunge into debt, to get that cervecita and paella right on the beach, well, they'll make that effort. They still love their pueblos, but they especially love their beaches. The Spanish, as I said, are beachgoers. They always have been. So, with so many people departing, does that mean cities like Madrid will be stranded with heat, a few stray cats, and a handful of cockroaches? Not at all. Things have changed a lot in Madrid since those early days. Companies won't shut down. Many restaurants will stay open at least a couple of weeks, if not the whole month. Staff will spread out their holiday breaks. Some take the final 2 weeks off of July. Others go for the first 2 weeks of August. Others the second fortnight of the month, or any kind of combination of that kind. Families are still keen on the August option because their kids are usually back from summer camp. It still gets a lot quieter, but it's no longer the dead city that it used to be at this time of year. That means plenty of pros for those of us who are sometimes in Madrid during the final weeks of summer. It's a hell of a lot easier to park, and that's just one of the perks. Others include shorter queues at the museums, fewer people in general, easier to book a table at a restaurant or a bar, and that's just to name a few. On the other hand, there are a lot of places that do close down, so don't be surprised. In addition to that, tourism is booming in this country, and especially in Madrid, so there is that guarantee of there being a horde down in the center of Madrid all year long. But anyway, as I was saying, it is the day after August 1st, departure day, and that was a Monday. So it was a little bit different from other years. People have had a chance to spread out their departure anywhere from Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Though, on the other hand, people who are renting from the 1st to the 15th would obviously be leaving yesterday. Some 7 million cars are expected to have hit the road this past weekend. I was out on the road yesterday, coming up to the mountains of Madrid, and it was pretty busy, but nothing extraordinary, though this isn't necessarily too surprising. But there are plenty out there. I mean, millions. And it might be surprising with the current situation that we're living and the war in Ukraine, the crisis, the inflation, but it seems like people are finally more in the mood to enjoy a summer without COVID worries, and not without COVID, but without COVID worries and restrictions. And another reason, and I've been told this by other people, is that they're expecting a very dark winter, which is a code word for recession. And in the Spanish, or at least Spanish mentality, is instead of saving for that inevitable rainy day, they're basking in the sun and blowing their budget on a lot of R&R in full-fledged carpe diem style. And that's how we started the month of August. Carpe diem, operación salida, departure day, and we'll see how the rest of the month goes. I'll be chiming in from time to time. That'll be all for today. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, click on our PayPal donate button. And if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.